أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. By the grace of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, Allah سبحانه وتعالى has given us this month of Ramadan. And in that month, these last 10 days, where Allah سبحانه وتعالى gave us the opportunity of making i'tikaf, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the i'tikaf of all the people who are here, and to accept their du'as, and to accept all our ibadat, our qiyam, our siyam, and tilawat al-Qur'an, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the middle of the ayat prescribing fasting and i'tikaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 186, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Which means, when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, I am indeed near to them. When they ask me, I am near to them. I respond to the dua of the supplicant when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. See the beauty of this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that just the action of asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a means of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan comes to enable us to develop taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed fasting so that we can develop taqwa. So what does the slave do when he has been fasting for the pleasure of Allah and his taqwa has increased and he feels close to Allah? He makes dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when his slave asks about him, he is near his slave. The very action of asking about Allah is a means of drawing close to Allah. Allah Jalla Jalalahu then says that he listens to the dua of his slave and grants it provided his slave is obedient and has faith. So this is the month to ask Allah for all that you need. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu also said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعِينِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And your Rabb said, ask me, make dua to me, I will respond to you. Verily those who scorn my worship, who are not Muslim and don't make dua, they will surely enter Jahannam in humiliation. The Anbiya came to join the slave to his creator, not to become barriers between them. No Nabi, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ever made it conditional on the person to ask Allah through them. It is true that it's a condition of the acceptance of dua that we send salutations and salat and salam and durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tomorrow night, inshallah, we will talk about the subject of dua in more detail with looking at how the Anbiya made dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, in a hadith that is recorded in Abu Dawood, from An-Numan bin Bashir radiyallahu anhuma, who reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. In another narration he said, Ad-du'a mukhu al-ibadah. In this narration he said that du'a is worship. Du'a itself is worship. And in another place he said, du'a is the brain of worship. It's the purpose of worship. It's the meaning of worship. In this month of Ramadan, let us make the most of dua, especially those who are in itikaf. You are the guests of Allah in His house. Allah calls to give, not to take. So ask Allah for whatever you need with complete certainty that He will grant your dua, inshaAllah. Talk to Allah. He listens and knows what is in our hearts and can change our situation. So ask Him and not anyone else. Someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we make dua and in some cases Allah gives us what we ask for. In other cases, we find that we don't get what we asked for. What is the meaning of this? Rasulullah ﷺ explained this in a hadith collected in Muwatta Imam Malik, narrated by Zaid bin Aslam radiallahu anhu, who narrated from Rasulullah ﷺ that he said, no one makes a dua without one of three things happening. Either it is answered, or it is stored for him, or wrong actions are forgiven by it. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what is best for us, gives us what we ask for. Sometimes He withholds it for our own benefit. Sometimes when we reflect on our lives, we see what a wonderful thing it was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withheld and didn't grant our dua, but instead He chose for us what He wished. Allah said, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعْبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعْبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. In Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if Allah were to enlarge the provision for His slaves, they would surely rebel in the earth. But He sends down by measure as He wills. Verily, He is in respect of His slaves, well aware and all seer. Truly, if we reflect on our lives, many of us, the only reason we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because we have money. If we didn't have the money, we would not be able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is not all. Allah doesn't reject the dua. He merely delays its acceptance in our interest because He knows the reality of what will happen if it is granted. Instead, in His infinite mercy, He forgives sins and averts calamities in exchange for unanswered duas. See the mercy of Allah. Why does He need to do this except to show us how merciful He truly is? How wretched then is the one who is still ungrateful? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps those duas which are not answered with Him. And on the day of judgment, he will say to the person, you asked me for such and such and I gave it to you. You asked me for such and such but I didn't give it to you but averted this calamity from you and forgave your sins. But you also asked me for such and such but I didn't give it to you and neither did I avert a calamity or forgive a sin in exchange. Now that dua is with me. Ask me what you want today and I will give it to you. Subhanallah, Rasulullah said, if you realize the value of that dua, you will wish that all your life you continue to make dua and not one is ever accepted in this life but remains with your Rabb to be granted on the day of judgment. My brothers and sisters, it is essential to reflect on our lives and be grateful to Allah for having given us this access to Himself without any reservations and protocol, without any intermediaries and connectors. When the slave places his head in sajda before his Rabb, there are only two in that equation, the Rabb and his Abd. That is what the Anbiya came to teach us, and that is what Rasulullah ﷺ taught us. Now, how to make dua? The most beautiful ayat of Surah Maryam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kafha ya ayn sad, dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu zakariya, idhnada rabbahu nidaan khafiya, qala rabbi inni wahana al'azmu minni, washta'ala al-ra'su shayba, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. The surah starts with the huruful maqatta'at, kafa ya ayn sad, and then Allah says, this is a mention of the mercy of your Rabb to His slave Zakariya. When he called out to his Rabb, a call in secret, saying, my Rabb, indeed my bones have grown feeble and grey hair has spread on my head and I have never been unblessed in my dua to you, O my Rabb. And verily I fear my relatives after me since my wife is barren, so give me from yourself an heir. The way to make dua, and I am summarizing from the numerous ahadiths on this subject, is to follow the method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in this ayah. The purpose of these stories of the Quran is to teach us the correct way to do things, to make our dua acceptable to Allah. So let us pay attention and learn how to connect to Allah. Number one, speak about your own weakness. Number two, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak about His majesty and power. Number three, speak about your connection with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. But before that, obviously, build that connection. Number four, ask what you want from Him, keeping in focus His majesty and power, not your own weakness or worldly circumstances. And five, ask with complete certainty that He has the power to give. All that is needed is for you to persuade Him. So work on that with persistence. Rasulullah ﷺ advised the following with respect to dua. Number one, glorify Allah and send salatu salam on Rasulullah ﷺ before you make dua. Number two, don't become impatient And don't say, I asked and asked, but nothing happened. Remember, it took more than 40 years for Yusuf alayhi salam's dream to come true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his own time frames and what is best. So keep asking with complete certainty that you are speaking to a Rabb who listens, understands even better than you, responds, and has the power to do anything he wishes. Number 3, make dua in a voice that is neither too soft nor too loud. Rasulullah said to a man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loudly and saying loudly, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. He said to him, call on your Rabb with humility and softly. Your Rabb is not deaf. Number 4, don't say, Oh Allah, give me if you wish. Ask with certainty and with the full faith that Allah Jalla wa Ala can and will give. Nobody can force Allah to give what He doesn't wish to give. Number 5, the best time to make dua is in tahajjud. Abu Umama radiallahu anha reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, at what time does the dua find the greatest response? He replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a dua made during the middle of the last part of the night. A dua made during the middle of the last part of the night and after conclusion of the fard salawat. And this hadith is in Tirmidhi. And other good times are the following. Between adhan and iqama. Rasulullah ﷺ said the dua made between adhan and iqama is never, is always accepted, never rejected. Then before you start reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, after you make Takbir Ula, and before you start Surah Al-Fatiha, that's the time also to make dua. If it's for Salah, you have to make this dua in Arabic. But that's the time, and it's called dua. That dua is called dua istiftah, the dua of the beginning. Then dua during ruku, during sujood, after tashahud, and before salam. At that point is also times for acceptance of dua during the salah. Dua is accepted in qunut, in witr, and in qunut nazila at the time of calamity in Salatul Fajr. Usually that's when qunut nazila is recited in Salatul Fajr in the second rakat after ruku. Every Friday there is a time during which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all du'as. But Rasulullah ﷺ said this time is very short. So make a lot of du'a on Fridays. Among the times of acceptance of du'a is the day of Arafah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'a of those who are standing and asking Him and proudly draws the attention of the Malaika al-Muqarrabun to His slaves who are standing in Arafah, glorifying His praise and asking Him for their needs. Du'a is also accepted, number 6, du'a is also accepted in the time of breaking the fast. Very, very important, obviously, for us to understand. And this is the month of Ramadan and we are fasting. The time for acceptance of du'a is at the time of iftar. So let us spend the time of iftar making dua, not in mindless iftar parties which achieve more harm than good. Rasulullah ﷺ said, indeed the fasting person has at the time of breaking the fast a dua which is not rejected. And this is a Sahih hadith in Ibn Majah. And Rasulullah also said, ﷺ, 3 prayers are not rejected. 3 du'as are not rejected. The du'a of a father, the du'a of a fasting person, and the du'a of a traveler. And this is a Sahih hadith in Bayhaqi. So it is very important for us to take full advantage of the fact that du'as are accepted at these times. In another hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, there are in the month of Ramadan, in every day and night, those to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants freedom from the fire. And there is for every Muslim a dua which he can make and which will be granted. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, and also it's a Sahih hadith. Number 7, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah ﷺ, who said, he who makes dua sincerely for martyrdom, for shahada, it will be granted to him even though he is not killed on the battlefield. And this is a hadith in Muslim Sharif. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah ﷺ, who said, the miser is the one in whose presence I am mentioned, but he does not make dua for me. What a horrible thing that Rasulullah ﷺ, we don't want to make dua for our Nabi. When we make dua for our Nabi, we elevate and honor ourselves. The Nabi does not need the dua. The dua is more for our benefit. And if we don't do that, it's truly a shameful thing. Number 10, number 9, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported in a hadith in Muslim Sharif that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a slave becomes nearest to his Rabb when he is in sujood, in prostration. And that is the dua, that is in Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so increase duas while making sajda. The dua of the parent for his child is accepted, and the dua of the oppressed is accepted. And there is no barrier between these duas and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua in this hadith specifically is mentioned that the dua of the father against his son is accepted. May Allah protect us from this. So those who do not have good relations with their parents, it's truly a sad thing, and it's very important for you to go and make up with your parents. There's nothing that the parents can do which justifies you having a bad relationship with them. So make the good relationships and get their good duas, not their bad duas. So beware also of oppressing people. The one oppressed is praying for your destruction while you are asleep, and his Rabb is listening. Number 11. How to get dua accepted? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his beautiful names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Lillahi al-asma'ul husna fadu'uhu biha, in the Quran. So therefore, ask Allah by his beautiful names. In a hadith in Sunan al-Nasa'i, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith is narrated, an Anas ibn Malik, قال كنت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالسا يعني ورجل قائم يصلي فلما ركع وسجد وتشهد دعا فقال في دعائه اللهم إني أسألك بأن لك الحمد لا إله إلا أنت المنان بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم إني أسألك. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه تدرون بما دعا؟ قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم. قال والذي نفسي بيده لقد دعا الله باسمه الأعظم الذي إذا دعى به أجاب وإذا سئل به أعطى. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this dua about this man, and he said that this man asked, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that a man came while they were sitting in the masjid. This man came and he made salah, and in the salah he stood and he made ruku and he made sajda and then he made tashahud, and then he made dua and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his name, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, antal mannan badiu samawati wal ard, you are the one who created the heavens and the earth. Ya azal jalali wal ikram, he glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya hayyu ya qayyum. And then he said, inni asaluka, and he made his dua. He said, this is what I'm asking you, ya Rab. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by the one in whose hand is my life. This man asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his Ismihil Azam, by his greatest names. And when you make a dua by these names, he said the dua is surely accepted. And if he asks something by these names, that thing which he asked for is surely given to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that the dua of Dhunnun, Yunus alayhi salam, by which he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from inside the belly of the whale, where he said that there is not, and that which means there is none worthy of worship. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. He said there is none worthy of worship but you, glory be to you, and verily I am amongst the wrongdoers. No Muslim ever makes dua by it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it insha'Allah. And this is in Tirmidhi and Musnad Ahmad and Hakim. Number 11, confession of sin. Shaddad bin Aus radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the supreme way of asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to say, and this is the Sayyidul Istighfar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you say, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdik wa wa'dik ma stata'tu a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfirli fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant, which means, O Allah, you are my Rabb, there is none worthy of worship but you. You have created me and I am your servant, I am your slave. I am committed to my covenant and my promise to you as much as I can. I seek refuge with you from the evil I have done. I acknowledge before you all the blessings you have bestowed upon me, and I confess to you all my sins. So grant me forgiveness, for no one can forgive sins except you. Rasulullah ﷺ said, if somebody says this during the day with firm faith in it and dies on the same day before the evening, he will be among the people of Jannah. And if somebody says it at night with firm faith in it and dies before the morning, he will be among the people of Jannah. And this is a Sahih Hadith in Bukhari. It's a very good idea to learn this dua, Sayyidul Istighfar. It's a short dua, and to ensure that we say this both morning and evening every day. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this habit permanent in our lives, so that when we die, inshallah, we will be among the people of Jannah, as mentioned and promised by His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 12, one should repent and try to make amends where one has wronged. Al-Bukhari and Muslim reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the man who stretched his arms to the heavens saying, O my Rabb, O my Rabb. A man came into the masjid and he raised his hands and he was asking, making dua, and he says, O my Rabb, O my Rabb. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the man, so he says, but his food is haram, his dress is haram, so how could his dua be answered? My brothers and sisters, very, very important for us to understand that you cannot please Allah while disobeying Him. Let us get this out of our minds. We seem to believe that we can please Allah while we disobey Him. We cannot. We cannot please anybody while disobeying Him. The disobedience causes anger. It does not cause pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what Nuh alayhi salam said to his people about the acceptance of dua. Nuh alayhi salam said in Surah An-Nuh, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. He said, Nuh alayhi salam is saying, O Allah, He said to them, ask forgiveness from your Rabb. Verily, He is oft forgiving. He will send rain to you in abundance and give you increase in wealth and children and bestow on you gardens and bestow on you rivers. Tawbah is an essential precondition for the acceptance of dua. Those who continue to disobey Allah deliberately may like to read the rest of the surah to see what dua Nuh alayhi salam made for those who refuse to make tawbah. Israr al-ma'asi huwa sabab ussu al-khatima. Insisting on sin is the cause of a bad ending without iman. Let us fear this kind of an ending. Insisting on destroying the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, insisting on disobeying the orders of Allah with respect to our dressing, our celebrations and so on, are all causes to attract the anger of Allah. It was in 1997, I was in Masjid al-Nabawi and I met Maulana Ahmad Lad Sahab, Namad Barakatuhum, and requested him to advise me. He said to me, do you know where we are sitting? I said, yes, we are in the Masjid al-Nabawi, al-Sharif. He said, yes. Then let me tell you about the importance of following the one whose masjid this is and whose grave is near us. He said, the one who leaves a mustahab act, considering it to be unimportant, Allah will deprive him from following the sunnah. The one who leaves a sunnah, considering it to be unimportant, Allah will deprive him from fulfilling the fard. The one who leaves a fard, considering it to be unimportant, Allah will deprive him from iman and he will die on kufr. The Marana spoke in Urdu, and I will tell you what he said in Urdu for those people who understand Urdu. He said, aap jante hain ki hum kahan baithe hain? Humne kaha, Marana, hum jante hain, Masjid Nabawi mein baithe hain. He said, to phir aapko batayenge, ye baat gaur se suniye. He said, aur phir Marana ne kaha ki jo mustahab ko halka समझ के छोड़े, अल्लाह उसको सुन्नत की पैरवी से महरूम करेंगे. जो सुन्नत को हल्का समझ के छोड़े, अल्लाह उसको फराइद की पाबंदी से महरूम करेंगे, और जो फर्द को हल्का समझ के छोड़े, अल्लाह उसको ईमान से महरूम करेंगे और वो कुफर पे मरेगा. मे अल्लाह सुभान व तआला प्रोटेक्ट अस फ्रॉम दिस फेट वेयर वी अट्रैक्ट द एंगर ऑफ अल्लाह एंड द डोर्स ऑफ हिदाया देन गेट क्लोज्ड. चूज केयरफुली ओ पीपल, बिकॉज ऑन द डे ऑफ जजमेंट वी विल बी विद दोज वी लव. Pick your friends very, very carefully. Number 13, dua made by reference to previous good deeds. This has been mentioned in the story of three people who entered a cave, the entrance of which had been blocked by a rock. We all know this story. And they invoked Allah. They made dua by their most sincere deeds, and He responded to them and released them. The story is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. Let us reflect on what deeds we have done, which we can use as our wasila for our dua before Allah. Let us ensure that we create these wasail, because a day will come when we will need them. Number 14, conveying the blessings of Allah, durood on Rasulullah. This is a requirement for the acceptance of dua. Rasulullah said, every dua is suspended until the blessing of Allah is invoked upon the Prophet. He said, every dua is suspended until durood is sent on me. This is in Sahih al-Jami. Number 15, facing the Qibla and raising both hands and being in a state of wudu. Whereas it is true, we can make dua in any state, including in a state without wudu, and raising hands and facing the Qibla are all not fard, but they are all very good, and it's preferable and it's mustahab to be in a state of wudu, to face the Qibla and raise both hands when making dua. The dalil of this is the story of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who reported that when Rasulullah ﷺ had finished from the battle of Hunain, he sent Abu Amir, who was the uncle of Abu Musa, to lead an army to Atwas, and he sent me with him. Abu Amir was struck in his knee by an arrow which a man from Dusham had shot, and it lodged in his knee. I removed it, and water oozed out of it, and Abu Amir was dying. He said, O son of my brother, convey my salam to Rasulullah ﷺ and request him to ask Allah's forgiveness for me. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu says that his uncle Abu Amir survived for a short while and then he died. He says, I returned and called on Rasulullah ﷺ at his house, and I found him lying in a bed made of the stalks of date palm leaves knitted with ropes, and on it there was bedding. The strings of the bed had left their mark on his back and sides. I told him about Abu Amir's news, and I told him about the meeting of Abu Amir, and I told him about Abu Amir's news and his request to tell him to ask Allah's forgiveness for him. Rasulullah ﷺ asked for water. He performed wudu and raised his hands and said, O Allah, forgive your servant, your slave Abu Amir. I saw Abu Musa says, I saw the whiteness of the Prophet's underarm. His hands were raised so high. He continued, O Allah, make him on the day of resurrection superior to many of your slaves, many of your human creatures. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu took advantage of this bounty, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, will you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for me also? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, forgive the sins of Abdullah bin Qais, which was the kunya and the name of Abu Musa. Abu Musa is the kunya, and Abdullah bin Qais is his name. He said, O Allah, forgive the sins of Abdullah bin Qais and admit him to a good entrance on the day of resurrection. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi said in Al-Fath al-Bari, it is indicated in this report that performing wudu when making dua is mustahab, it is desirable. Another very, very important point that I want to mentioned to you, my brothers and sisters, in today's world, is very, very important for us to eat halal. One of the most critical conditions for the acceptance of dua is to ensure that we eat halal. Sadly, this is something we need to remind each other about. There was a time when we knew our chickens. Today we eat anything as long as it is dead. But please remember that while there are several opinions about zabiha, the one opinion on which all the a'imma agreed is that an animal is itself, that as long as an animal is itself halal, if it is slaughtered by a Muslim who says Bismillah Allahu Akbar and then slaughters it by cutting its carotid arteries and jugular vein without separating the head from the body, that animal is halal and permissible to eat. So three conditions: the person slaughtering must be a Muslim, must say Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and then he slaughters it in the Islamic manner by cutting the carotid arteries and jugular vein without separating the head from the body. All the aima are agreed that this method is inshallah perfect in terms of zabiha. So let us stick to that opinion, no matter which imam we follow. If you have any arguments about that, Just change the word haram for the word poison or the word allergen and you will understand what I mean. Islam has five pillars and eating meat is not one of them. However, eating haram will not only ensure that our dua is not accepted but will also land us in the Jahannam as mentioned by none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Today our plate is international. We have beef from Brazil, mutton from Australia, chicken from Godrej, mineral water from Malaysia and orange juice from the US, all marked halal. Just ask yourself, why does mineral water and orange juice need to be marked halal? And of course, we end our meal by washing it down with drinks that have secret ingredients and about which the only thing that can be said with certainty is that they are excellent toilet cleaners. Then we stand in salah and make dua and wonder why our dua is not accepted. Do you still wonder? Please remember, a halal stamp means nothing unless it is from an institution about whose methods and integrity you are completely certain. All factory processed chicken doesn't fit the condition for zabiha, as I mentioned, and so is haram, no matter who certifies it. Unless it is hand slaughtered, it is not halal. Chicken, mutton and beef must be hand slaughtered for it to be halal. All food and drink which has secret ingredients is haram for a Muslim who fears Allah to eat. Orange juice and other juices from the West are routinely filtered through pig bladders. So also is mineral water. For more disgusting details, please contact me and I will refer you to a scientist in Kuwait who has done extensive work on this. Please remember that just because you are eating chicken in a restaurant attached to the haram in Makkah doesn't make it halal. Fear the anger of Allah, O people. Remember the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ who said to the effect, the halal is clear and the haram is clear. Between them are doubtful matters. So leave the doubtful for that which is not doubtful. This hadith is considered to be one third of Islam because of its wonderfully clear message to save us from the hellfire. Taqwa is to leave what is doubtful. Make a firm intention that you will never eat anything about which you are not absolutely sure that it is halal. And remember, Allah knows. Number 19, to cry when making dua. I will end with one of the most beautiful ahadiths on the subject of dua. Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited these two ayat and wept. The first ayat is from Surah Ibrahim about Ibrahim alayhi salam and his dua. He said, Rabbi, innahunna adlalna kathiran minan nas, faman tabi'ani fa innahu minni, waman asani fa innaka ghafuru rahim. He said, oh my Rabb, they have indeed led astray many among mankind, but whosoever follows me, he verily is of me, and whosoever disobeys me, still you are indeed of forgiving, most merciful. What a kind person was Ibrahim alayhi salam. The second ayat which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited was this ayat from Surah Ma'idah, in tu'azibhum fa innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. If you punish them, they are your slaves, and if you forgive them, verily you, only you are the Almighty and the All-Wise. Rasulullah ﷺ wept and kept saying, Rabbi Ummati, Rabbi Ummati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam and said, ask him, why is he grieved? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is happening. And all these things are for establishing the hujjat in favor of his favorite people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel and said, ask him, why is he grieving? Rasulullah ﷺ said, Ya Jibreel, what will happen to my ummah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, tell him, we will make him happy with respect to his ummah. And Allah said, Wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda, in Surah Duha, and verily your Rabb will give you all that is good so that you will be well pleased. Hum aapko razi kar denge, hum aapko khush kar denge, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ne farmaya. Rasulullah ﷺ said, then I will not be pleased if even one of my ummah is in the hellfire. Think about this. What kind of a Nabi that we have. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu used to say to the people of Iraq, you think that the ayat of greatest hope in the Quran is, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. In Surah Az-Zumar, Allah said, oh my ibadi, oh my slaves who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah forgives all sins. Truly, He is oft forgiving, most merciful. Ali bin Abi Talib used to say to the people of Iraq, you think that this ayat is the ayat of greatest hope, but we, the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt, we consider the ayat of greatest hope to be, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُوْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will make you pleased on the day of judgment, O our Habib, O our Nabi. And Rasulullah said, I will not be pleased even if one of my ummatis is in the hellfire. They ask for the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. Let me end by reminding myself and you that this is the man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for our guidance, who suffered all sorts of privations and difficulties in order to fulfill his duty to his Rabb. And out of his love for us, his ummah, people he knew and those like us yet unborn, we believe in him without seeing him, and he made dua for us without seeing us. This is the man whose sunnah Allah made the most beautiful thing for us to follow and the means by which we can convert our ordinary actions into acts of worship. This is the man who will be granted intercession by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, inshallah, and we hope that he will intercede for us. This is the man who worried about us far more than he worried about his own family. Yet, this is the man whose way we find so difficult to follow, while we find every substandard way of every denier of Allah easy to follow. Get real, people. Remember that on the day of judgment, we will be with those we love. So pick carefully who you love, because they are the ones you will be with. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.